play a little bit. There's just certain things I like when he's singing. He said, can I get a witness that God is my everything? Amen. We can live without each other. Even though at times things get so rough, you say, I don't know how I can live without her. I don't know how I can live without him. I don't know how I can live without my children. Amen. But when it comes down to it, we start to realize that God is our everything. Amen. Anybody got a testimony on this afternoon? This is a time in a service where we can just stand up and give God praise for what he's done. Amen. And I like when people start to praise him for what he's about to do. That says you might be in the middle of something. Hallelujah. But you're just going to praise him anyhow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Sister Tinsley.
Moment this morning before I came here, I just started weeping and wailing. I think about my mother, how she was in so much pain and how she just sat on her side of the bed and just prayed, and I think she was hoping that God would come and take her out of this miserable world. But anyway, all week I was in so much pain. But I just started praying. My husband prayed for me. I said, I'm not going to let the devil defeat me. I just thought of just ignore him and do what I have to do and call on Jesus because he's the only one that can help. So I just thank God for being here today and just pray for my strength in the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Part of that song says, you can call on Jesus. And he said, and he'll be there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Sister Marsha.
Praise the Lord, Savior. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I thank and praise God for being here this Sunday. On last Sunday, we weren't able to be here. But I thank and praise God for just giving me a mind to want to be here. Giving me a mind to know that he lives. I heard a girl tell me at work this week, she said, I don't believe in the Bible. She said, I just think it's fictional stories. And I said, you don't believe in God? I said, you don't know who is your salvation, where your salvation stands? I said, I know without him, without a doubt, I would be nothing, absolutely nothing. I said, I thank God every day I wake up, and every day he brings me safely to and from. I thank God for the for my family, for my husband, for my grandchildren, how I've been blessed, how God has kept my family back in Chicago safe from all harm and danger. Even when my niece was in a battle and the guy was ready to blow her brains out, God said no. He wouldn't even let it happen. So I thank God, because I know there is a God. And I know that he is able, because I got a praise on the inside.
Oh no, I want to serve that fictional God right there. Amen. Because he lives is why we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fears are gone. Because I know, saints of God, who holds my future in life is worth the living. Just because he lives, that God that she's talking about, hallelujah, this is our God. Praise the Lord. Auntie Patty, Sister Caraway.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What an awesome testimony. I just want to give honor to God this morning. I truly thank God for being here today. I don't know how many sports fans we have out there, but I'm a sports fanatic, and for those of you that heard the Heisman Trophy winner, his speech, he was talking about believing in the process and the process that took him from where he started to where he was to winning that Heisman Trophy. And he just kept repeating the phrase, "I believed in the process." And, you know, there was something about what he was saying that resonated in my spirit, because I kept saying, there's so many times that I didn't believe in the process. There's so many times that I felt like giving up. But today I believe in the process. And I don't know what process he was talking about, but I believe that God knew right from the beginning where he was taking me and why he was taking me the way that he was taking me. And I know in my spirit that if I would have known back then what I know today, if I knew what I had to go through, I probably wouldn't be standing up victorious today. But truly, I thank God for the victory. I thank God for the process. I thank God for the process of baptism in Jesus' name, speaking in tongues. I thank God for the process of taking my burdens to the Lord and leaving them there. I thank God for the process of believing and hope when you don't see it, you just keep believing. I thank God for faith. I just thank God for the word. I thank God for the love. I thank God for the process. Pray my mind in the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Brother Malcolm.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I want to say God is so good to me. He is so good to me. I don't know about you, but I know he's good to me. Yes. As I would say, on Tuesday evening coming from work, my car just slid all across the street coming down on 787. I know it's heading for the wall, it turned the other direction, heading for a car. I just said, Jesus. And that car stopped immediately. And I just said, thank God for that. I'm not for him in my life, I've been in his life. I don't know what will be done, but and I always say God is so good to me. Yes. And I will continue to praise God day after day after day. There would be no stopping. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, sister.
I just thank God for being here today, worshiping with everyone. I just think back over the years, I didn't have a mind to worship God, so it is definitely an honor to be here worshiping with him. And I always think about what the songwriter says when he says, when I look back over my life and I think things through, I can truly say that God has been good to me. I was going through so many different trials and tribulations on my job where I just wanted to just give up. I just felt like Satan wanted to just attack me every way that he could. And I just remember just getting to a point where God just said, give your battles to me. Stop trying to fight for your battles, because the battle is not yours to fight. So I stand here today just to encourage anyone, if there's anything that you're going through, if it's a husband, if there's any need that you need, man, if you want a husband, if you want a mother figure in your life, if there's anything that's struggling, give it to God, and he will definitely bring you through. And I always have this prayer on the inside, because God did not do what he did for me. He could have left me in the slums. So while they seem excited at times, just know that God has worked through me. So I thank him for where he brought me from, and I thank him for where he's taking me. So every time I think about the goodness of Jesus,
hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Testimonies of victory. Praise the Lord, Sister Laurier.
Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
I'm actually sitting here fighting myself not to get up, but I have, just bear with me for a second.
It's all right.
How could someone like you love someone like me, full of mistakes and insecurities, when you look in my heart, tell me what do you see that makes you me so. Is it the nails that pierced in your side? Or the moment you dropped your head and you died? For a sinner like me, you gave up your life. And it's time to let you know.
I remember at 13 years old, I was thrown from a minibus while I was rushed to the hospital. God was good then. I've been through so much in between those periods until I have joined the Jamaica Defense Force, and I was criticized, I was mocked, I was seen as nothing. I was also in a marriage that, wow, I could tell you. I do back surgery, I do neck surgery, I do foot surgery. But when you look at me now, I want to say to God be the glory. No, to God be the glory. I can stand today and tell you, hold on my friend, despite what you're going through. He has done it for Daniel, hallelujah. He can do it for you. I want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me another chance. I am here not because I want to be here, but I am here because He wanted, He touched me, He delivered me, He set my soul.
And sometimes when we fail to remember and to connect with, what experiences that we've been through, it's good just to come and sit. Even if you didn't testify, just bask in, amen, our Heavenly Father, amen, in the gifts and the abilities that He's given unto our brothers and our sisters, and the testimonies that He's given, amen, our family here, amen. Then we can just start to just take a pause, amen, and just say, thank you, Jesus. Say hallelujah, which is the highest praise. Hallelujah. Thank God, because now I start to remember. Now I can reconnect, hallelujah, with my Heavenly Father and say, thank you, Jesus, and say, if you've done that for her and if you've done that for him, I know, Lord, that you're still alive. I know that you can move in my situation, in my circumstance. And then I ask you, saints, what is too hard for my God? What is it that he can't do? Hallelujah. And I submit to you that the answer on this afternoon is nothing is too hard for my God. Nothing is too big for my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to
say, how many of us, hallelujah, by the testimonies, amen. We just thank the Lord for the testimonies. And thank God, amen, for those that have a mind to serve the Lord, to seek after God, amen. I don't have a whole lot of voice because I'm fighting affliction, so let's get right into the Word of God, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. We're going to read just two verses of Scripture. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for our Scripture reading. Jeremiah chapter 10, we're going to read just two verses of Scripture. That being verses 10 and 11. Amen. How many know that God has been good?
Amen.
I said, how many know?
Hallelujah.
I didn't say yes. How many know that God has been good? How many know that if it had not been for the Lord, hallelujah, on my side, where would I be right now? So we just bless the Lord for his goodness and mercy. Verse 10 reads, but the Lord is the true God. He is, wait, hold on. Sorry. 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. I said it backwards. Oh, all right. You know, forgive me for my mistakes. See, that's not, now everybody know I'm not perfect.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody know I'm not perfect, so don't think I'm perfect. Amen. I'm like, no, like what I was reading earlier. Amen. Amen. So Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 and 11. Now can we say amen?
Amen.
All right, let's read. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you once again. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I, isn't it a wonderful thing to know that when it comes to God, God doesn't guess? God doesn't have to try and figure it out, but God
knows.
I said we don't, when it comes to God,
hallelujah.
We might mess up, we might not know, but when it comes to God, he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, to give you an expected end. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you on this afternoon. Lord, we thank you today for realizing that during this time of holidays and festivities, Lord, you are the reason for the season. God, we just pray and ask that you ever make us ever mindful that your word declares that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, give us a great gratitude and a gratefulness, hallelujah, for you being not just our God, not just being our Lord, but being our Savior and our kinsman redeemer. Now, Lord, on this afternoon, we ask you to speak to the church. Lord, speak through me and speak to me. And Lord, feed us with food that is convenient for our spiritual man. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. This is the prophet Jeremiah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah has been known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah wept so much for the people of God because every warning, every heed that he'd given them, they did not take heed. So Jeremiah warned them once over and over again. He said, you need to get it right. Amen. He said, you've gone so far away from God. And earlier in the second chapter, he said, what iniquity have you found in me? Amen. We how many know that there is not a perfect person in this earth?
Come on.
Amen. I don't care what church you go to, what job, what parent, whoever you deal with, there is not one perfect person in this earth. The only one that ever lived in these bodies that was perfect was
Jesus.
That's the only one. So you will not see perfection in anybody else. And I can tell you personally, you will not find perfection in me because I'm just a man. Amen. And being a man, that means there are things that I do and don't do. Amen. But I heard the word of God said, if we go into, we're not going to go into all of chapter 32, but God said, I remember that you're nothing but flesh. And us being flesh, what he was saying is you have limitations. There are times when you will come up short, and there are times when you might fail. But he says in the book of Hebrews, when you come up short, it's time to come boldly. How are we going to come?
Boldly.
You're a child of God. You don't have nothing to be ashamed of when it comes to our God. So we have to come boldly to the throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy. Hey, give me another mic. Obtain mercy and find
grace to help.
You know, Amen. That's what's so good about church. Amen. Devil, we got 9 more. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not limited. He likes to mess with us. That might never actually. All the rest of them do that, does, but nevertheless, hey, God has a plan. But we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Well, why do you need mercy? Because we are human and we may. Don't ever look at any of us and think we don't have faults and problems just like you are, because the Bible said we're nothing more than flesh. Flesh have limitations, amen. But that's not the message, so I'm going to keep going. This is Jeremiah. He asked him, he said, what fault have you found in God? God has been so good. God has been such a way maker. God kept you when you didn't deserve to be kept. God washed over you. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know every day we live, the devil's desire is to take us out? But God. So he watches over us when we slumber, and when we sleep, God watches over us. What iniquity. What fault. In other words, can you point a finger at God and say, Lord, you did this, you did that? My testimony parallels that of Pilate. Pilate wasn't saved and didn't know God. But Pilate said, when he examined Jesus, he said, I find. I don't know about all that no fault insurance. I know about no fault salvation. When it comes to my God, I can say I find no fault, because God has been good. Hallelujah. But this is Jeremiah preaching to some stubborn people. Yep, you know some stubborn people? Amen. Thank God we don't have any in here. But there are some people that are so stubborn that when God tries to reach them, they determine to do what they want to do. But Jeremiah preached over and over again, and instead of the people getting closer to God, they got further away. Instead of them heeding the voice of God, instead of them planting God's word in their heart, they put up a wall of defense and would not receive God's word. So God tells them in verse 10, he said, because of your stubbornness, because you're determined to do what you want to do, thus saith the Lord, that after, so he told them right now, you're going to be in Babylon for how long? Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 32. For 70 years, they were going to be in Babylon. Amen. Because they refused to heed God's call. Jeremiah chapter 32, I'm going to start at verse 6. But let me give you some history so that we don't have to read it all. Jeremiah kept going to one. First, he went to Jeconiah, who was king, and told him, the nation needs to repent. And they got mad at Jeremiah. Amen. At one point, Jeremiah got so frustrated dealing with God people, he said, I'm not going to even speak in his name anymore. Hallelujah. How many know when you got the word down in your heart, your mouth may say it, hallelujah, but your heart will react differently. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to say anything in his name anymore. But he said, but his word was down in my heart like a burning fire. Shut up. Can we say shut up? In my bones. Amen. It frustrated him, and he going to one king, and Jeconiah was carried away. Actually, the Babylon captivity happened in three parts. First, Jeconiah went because God had cursed the throne, said no one else would sit on the throne of King David. So Jeconiah went, and Jeremiah continued to preach the same message, but the people would not repent. Amen. And now he's preaching to the people during the reign of Zedekiah, because after Nebuchadnezzar had taken Jeconiah captivity, he put somebody else in charge as king. So he put Zedekiah in charge as king. And Jeremiah is preaching to them saying that except you repent, God will also take you captive. That you're going to be taken into captivity. And Zedekiah got upset. And he put the man of God in prison. Amen. So now he's in prison at this time because of the word of God. That brings us to verse 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalem, thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anath, for the right of redemption is thine to buy. So, to get even more understanding, if you read Jeremiah chapter 11 and 12, Anath, well, I'm not saying it right, but you all know what it is, Anathoth was the city where Jeremiah was born. And in chapter 11, he preaches that God was going to send judgment on the people and that they'd be carried away into captivity. And when he preached that they'd be carried into captivity, his own family connived a plan to try to kill him. Amen. So God warns him of the plan, and this is in Anathoth. Amen. We know what we mean, right? They connived a plan to kill the man of God. But God warned him, and he escaped. So now he's in prison. Amen. But we read in chapter 29 that they were going to be taken away captive for how long?
70 years.
Now his uncle and the family that tried to kill him wants him to buy land. Our message this afternoon is when God asks you to do something that just doesn't make sense. When God asks you to do something that just doesn't make sense. Now, when that God asks you to do something that doesn't make sense, that's not by your natural mind, but it's by faith. When God asks you to do something that doesn't make sense, it's not your natural mind, there is faith. Because at this time, Jeremiah is in prison. And they said they'd been carried away for 70 years into captivity. What sense does it make to buy land? Amen? Does it make sense? Absolutely not. But God has a plan. Because Jeremiah has said, when our God is going to take you captive, but he will bring you back. He said, this place is going to be burned with fire. Now, somebody said, well, that's his uncle and his cousin. They had to mean it for the right reason. They did not mean it for the right reason. They did this to try to show him up. But God warned him. He said, your uncle and your cousin will be coming, amen, to sell you some land. Now, if any of us is in prison and we're going to be taken away captive for 7 years, does it make sense to buy land? Not at all. But God, amen. The next verse says, so Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord and said, see, God had already told him he's coming. God told him to buy the land. Why? Because God told Jeremiah, he said, at the end of 70 years, I will perform my good word unto you. So though they're trying to show you up, it doesn't make sense when they look at it, amen, they're trying to defame and slander you. He said, but do it by faith, showing that what you know God is going to do. When God tells you to do something that doesn't, oh Lord, thank you. Can we say thank you, Jesus? When God tells you to do something that doesn't make sense, that's not your natural mind, but that is by faith. Amen? So it said, according to the word of the Lord, it said, by my field, I pray thee that is in enough. The very man that they tried to kill you, they want you to come back. They're trying to despise your name. They're trying to show you up. But God said, do it anyway, because it shows where your faith is. Amen. It shows where your faith is. Now I'm going to get back to this. Let's use some other examples. When God tells you to do something that doesn't make sense. Amen. I say this not to throw off on anything or anybody, but for 31 years I was in the same place in ministry. And God was dealing with me about leaving, but I was used to what I was used to, and I didn't want to move. But then one day God spoke to me, and he said, who do you trust? Are you trusting a church or a system? Or are you trusting me? I said, oh God, that's not even a question. Who I trust? He said, but I'm trying to move you to another level. But you won't move. How many know when you're into something, you know, anybody working in a job for 30 years, you got some security in, and you don't want to step out. But when God tells you to do something that doesn't make sense, then it becomes an act of faith. Amen. Faith moves beyond the realms of the conscious. Faith moves beyond the realm of reasoning. And faith takes you to a level or place where your full dependency is on God. You don't try to figure out how God is going to do it. You don't try to analyze it. Hallelujah. But you say, Lord, if you said it, I believe it. That settles it. Hallelujah for me. When God tells you something, that should settle it. Amen. Security in a system. Abraham, who's considered by men to be the father of faith, God told him, he said, you need to get out of the land of the Chaldeans and to a land that I will show you. So when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldeans, he didn't know where he was going. Amen. And it didn't really make sense because your protection, your security, your well-being was dependent upon your family. But God said, now I want you to leave your family, leave your kindred, and go to a place that I will show you. When God tells you to do something that doesn't make sense. So Abraham could have been like a lot of us. We would have to get out a little piece of paper. Amen. Figure out, can I do this? Can I do that? But Abraham, the Bible said, believe God. So he walked by faith. It didn't make sense to leave your security. It didn't make sense. But God had a plan. That's Abraham. How about Noah? Now, this really didn't make sense, what God told Noah to do. He said, Noah, I want you to build an ark, but I don't want you to build it by the water. I want you to build it all the way inland. Hallelujah. How many know when everybody looked at Noah for 120 years, it just didn't make sense. What's wrong with you? You're building up there and the water is down there. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning Noah, he did something for something that had not yet been seen. God said, I'm going to send a flood. Noah didn't know what a flood was. The people didn't know what a flood was because up to that time it had not yet rained. So he's doing something to the natural mind.
It makes sense.
Because they never seen a flood. They never seen rain. That's why only Noah and eight people in his family were saved. Because it did not make sense to go into an ark. You know, you look at it. It never had rain. The Lord would water the grounds with the mist. They didn't know what rain was. But Noah was moved by faith. Faith will cause you to move when God asks you to do something that doesn't make sense. Then it's by faith. The scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first. God didn't tell you to figure out how he's going to do it. He said to believe. He that cometh to God must first believe and then believe that he is a rewarder of them that. It didn't make sense. Hallelujah. But if you read up a little further early in verse 1, it said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. But in particular, verse 2 said, for by it, by what? Faith, the elders obtain. The only way that you can get a good report with God is by faith. So when I'm trying to get a good report, I don't have to figure out what God has to do. I only have to act in obedience. I don't have to get my paper and figure out, we only got 50 people, how are we going to raise $300 to buy a church? God said, do it. I believe it, amen. That settles it for me. I don't have to question God when he asks me to do something that don't make sense. Because if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. God said it. Many of us this afternoon might be in a place in our spiritual walk where God is asking us personally to do something that doesn't, but by faith. But by faith. Without faith it is to please God. Amen. John says it this way. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Whatever you're battling with, Everybody get another mic ready. This is going out to you. That's all right. Whatever you're battling with, whatever you're struggling with, hey, just line them up here on the bench. After they go out, I get another one. Amen. The devil's trying to stop them, but we coming. Hey, can we say we're coming? Come on, we're coming. Amen. We used to sing a song, Satan, we're about to tear your kingdom down. Hallelujah. You've been building your kingdom all over the world. But Satan, we're about to tear your kingdom down. You can fight. You can kick. Hallelujah. Don't be come this far by faith. Lord, I'm leaving. Can we say I'm leaving? God this afternoon asks you to do something that just doesn't
make sense.
Amen. Jesus gives a parable in Luke chapter 18 concerning the unjust judge. And he concludes, he said, nevertheless, I will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? When God asks you to do something that doesn't make sense, God is just charting your faith. God is testing your faith. Now let's go, go back to Abraham? Amen, I'm gonna go back to Abraham. This cold is beating me up a little bit, hold up. Lexi, you praying for me? All right, I like that smile. I know you can. Amen. Let's go back to Abraham. When God asks you to do things that don't make sense. Now, God had promised Abraham that he would have his seed. And then in that seed, who was Isaac, shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Can we say amen?
Amen.
But then God does something that just doesn't make sense. He says, take your son and I want you to offer him as a. It did not make sense because God told the children of Israel, don't learn the ways of the heathen. Sacrificing children was pagan and it was anti-God. So God tells him, I want you to go on a 3 days journey. And I want you to sacrifice your son. Now, when God wants to test your faith, remember this. He will test your faith by whatever is the dearest thing to you. Amen? God's not going to test your faith when he said, well, do you? Oh, I'll give that away willingly. Amen? He's not going to test your faith with something that you will easily give up. When he's going to test your faith, he's going to test your faith with something that is dear to you. My question is, what's the one thing that's hard for you to let go? Well, you can be assured that's where your test is going to come from. So he tells Abraham, I want you to take now Isaac, your son, thine only son. Did he have more than one son? Yes. But there was only one thing that was so close to him. Yes, he had Ishmael, but Ishmael was not Isaac. Ishmael, hallelujah. God said, when I see you, Abraham, and I see the promise, the blessing, the seed is coming through Isaac. He said, now I want you to do something that to you won't make sense. God said, you can be understand. You understand it better? Come on, can we preach to each other? He said, you understand it better? It doesn't make sense right now, but when you keep going, God said, I'll help you to understand it by and by. Sacrificing children, God, you can read about it from Deuteronomy on in Leviticus, he did not want them to sacrifice their children. But when you do something for God that doesn't make sense, how many know that God will have a Jehovah child? I said, when you move and do something for God that doesn't make natural sense, tonight. Lord, I'm obedient to your word. You say go, I say go. All right. It didn't make sense.
Come on.
But God, hallelujah. God told them to do it, hallelujah. And the Bible said as they went, the blessing asked the Father. Fire, Father, here's the fire, and here's the wood. But when is? He knew, hallelujah. It's heathen, excuse me, it's heathenistic to offer a child, so he wasn't even thinking about that. But God had a plan. When you walk by faith, you won't always have all the answers. Right. And it won't make sense. And guess what? Abraham at this time did not know how God was going to do it. Can we say, but God? Whatever you're thinking, whatever you know, all of us are at some point in our lives where we need to make concrete decisions.
Yes.
We need to make a decision. Amen. If I can ask you, encourage you to do anything, listen to the voice of God.
Yes.
Hear what God has to say. Amen. The Bible says there are many spirits or many voices that are going out
to the world.
But it's our personal and individual responsibility to test the spirit to see if it's of God or not. Amen. Because it looks good and because it makes sense doesn't mean it's God. Because God asks you to do things most times that really don't, they don't make sense. But back here, Jeremiah goes through the process and buys the land. Somebody said, well, why would he buy the land? Because God told him to. God said, they're coming, but I want you to buy the land. Well, why do you want me to buy the land? Now let's drop down to verse, I don't want to read all of this, and I think I lost one. Let's drop down to verse 25. Amen. This cold is about to beat me up, so I'm going to have to step out. Can somebody do some tag team preaching? Y'all open your mouth and I just tune in with you. Hallelujah. Verse 25. Now God told Abraham, they're going to come. I want you to buy the land. Well, why does he buy the land? Because it was symbolic of his faith. He was buying the land. He went through the whole process. He even did it legally, so it was made known to all that he was buying the land back in the very city where they had connived and plotted to destroy him. Did not Jesus say, a prophet is not without honor except where?
In his own city.
In his own country. Amen. He had no honor. But verse 25 reads, and thou hast said unto me, O Lord, God told him to do what? Buy thee the field for money. And he said, don't do it in private. It did not make sense for him to buy the land. But he was being obedient to God. For the city is given into the hands of, what I'm doing, I want to buy land in a city that's going to be in captivity. Did it make sense? But God. Now, and when we get down to the next verse, I heard a couple of y'all mention this in y'all testimonies and even Minister Simon. We'll get to that in a minute. Then came the word unto the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am. You don't have to figure it out, Jeremiah, because I am. I am the Lord. You don't need to give any reasoning because I am the Lord. And the God of, he's the God of all flesh. He said, and because I am the Lord and I'm the God of all flesh, he says, is there anything too hard for God? God had a plan, hallelujah. You might not understand it. The scriptures say, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment, and God's ways are past. You can't figure, in other words, you know what that scripture says in plain English? You can't figure God out.
That's right.
That's what it means in simple everyday English. You cannot figure God out, but by faith. But by faith. If you move in obedience to God, by faith. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. I want to quote it. Go to that for me right quick. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. This is what happens to us most of the time. We start doing things by works, by the law, and by what we can do and we think is all right. But how many know when you're walking by faith, it won't always make sense? Just think about it. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and when they were getting ready to go into the promised land and they crossed over the Jordan, the very first thing they came to was a walled city, the city of Jericho. Now, we don't even have any weapons, but God says, I got a plan. But when God tells you to do something, don't make sense. He said, now, Joshua, I'm going to give you the plan. All I want you to do is execute what I give you. Can we say execute? What God gives you. All I want you to do is what I tell you to do. You don't have to figure it out. It's not going to make sense, but just be obedient. Because to obey is better than. Hallelujah. Just do what I say do, and you don't have to figure out how I'm going to do it. Because is there anything too hard for God? Amen. He says, they walked to the walls of Jericho. I'm going to get to this. Y'all say, wait a minute. He said, go there. I'm coming. When they got to Jericho, it was a high walled city. Now, what God tells them to do next doesn't make sense. I don't know what your Jericho is this afternoon, but hear the word of the Lord and be obedient to what God is telling you, and you don't have to figure it out. God will work it out in his own time. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So they got to Jericho. God says, you know what, Joshua? I want you to get all the people. And all I want you to do is walk around the walls of Jericho one time and don't say a word. Amen? This, you get ready to go to a war and all you want to do is go on a parade. All you want us to do is walk around the city and we can't say nothing. But with God. Lord, thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank God. Give you a plan. You don't have to figure it out. Because like somebody said, when we read the back of the book, we what?
We win.
We win. He said, in the second day, I want you to do the same thing you did the first day. Now, the men of Jericho had already said God's going to give them the city. But the first day, they said, oh, here come those Israelites. We're in trouble. After the first day, they said, wow, that's a joke. We about to have a war, and all those Israelites are doing just walking around the city. So they left. The second day, they did the same thing. By that time, Jericho was getting pretty comfortable. These walls are high and they're tall. Jericho, they said, was so wide, I believe, that 13 horses and chariots could go around the top of it. They built their houses on the top of the wall. That's how big the wall was. And all they're doing is down there walking around. So when they looked down, they despised them. They weren't, who's thinking about that? Amen? For 6 days, they did the same thing. They walked around the wall how many times?
One time.
But God said, now on the seventh day, I want you to walk around the wall seven times. I don't want you to say anything the first time around the wall on the seventh day. And I don't want you to say anything the second time, the third, the fourth, the fifth, or the sixth. He said, but when you compass the city seven times on the seventh day, I want you to shout. Because I've given you the victory. Can we stand up and give God a wave off and shout, thank you, Jesus? Come on, can we? If you want God to do something for you, can we stand up and shout, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Be seated. Does that make sense? But on the seventh day, the seventh time when they shout, The Bible said the walls, it did not make sense what God had said. But when you're obedient by faith, there's not a wall, there's not a foe, there's not an opponent that can overcome you. When your trust is in, when it's in God. Amen. And you know, the thing is, when you're, the one of the most phenomenal things is Rahab was what they would call a harlot, a woman of disdain, and an occupation that is frowned upon. But she believed God. But in order for her to receive her deliverance, they said, the same window that we escaped out of, I want you to hang a scarlet thread in the window. And everything that's in your house will be saved. That doesn't make sense either. But God. Because the scarlet thread represented the blood of Jesus. Just like when they put the blood on the doorpost. And what did he say? He said, when I see the blood, I will pass. Thank God for the blood. We're getting here. We're almost finished. When God asks you to do something that doesn't, then that's God asks you to walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 11 said, but that no man is justified by the law. The next couple of verses is the most important. How? In the sight of God. He said, don't try to figure it out by the law or by your mind or by works. For no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. For the just must live by faith. Ultimately, the bottom line is this. When God asks you to do something that don't make sense, just walk by faith. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to sit down and calculate it. Amen. Because as God told Jeremiah, he said, is there anything too hard for God? Let us stand. We are all at some crossroad in our lives. Decisions to be made. What are we going to do? Who are we going to follow? It's most important thing as the elders and ministers come forward is that you do what's right in the what? Sight. Do what's right in the sight of who? God. God sees and God knows. When it comes to God, there is no hiding place. The book of Proverbs said that God is every place at all times. And that God beholds the good and the evil. There's nothing in our lives that will escape God. Tonight or this afternoon, are we trying to do what's right in the sight of God? When you do what's right in the sight of God, that means you're walking by faith and not by sight. It's so important today and tonight, this afternoon, that we understand. When God asks us to do something that doesn't make sense, when God is asking me to do things that doesn't make sense, God wants to know, where is your complete trust? What is your reliance upon? Is it upon man? Are you going to do what's right in the sight of God? This afternoon, our salvation. No man saved any of us. Our salvation is from God. It's so important today. When we leave, find out what God has for you and what God wants you to do. Most of all, the regulator governs our lives based on the opinion of others. Amen. I like what the apostles did after they had healed the lame man. And they got them together. They said, don't preach in his name anymore. They said, now, we don't know about anybody else. He said, but we have a decision to make. Whether it's right in the sight of God or man, you decide. For we cannot do what we have seen and heard. Whatever God tells you, do it. Don't surrender. Don't bow down to what man says. If God tells you to do, something different. Because when it comes to God, He will always tell us to do something that doesn't make sense.